church I was referring to.
I remember folks there at the church praying
for a man named Bob. When I asked about Bob, I heard that he made a profession. He was a young adult, married at the time I was inquiring. But when I asked about him when he was a young person, oh yeah, he went to church regularly. And I heard all about his family that went. But he didn't go. And prayers were said for that man on and on and on. To my knowledge, he's still not living for the Lord. Don't become a casualty.
Yes.
The only thing that can assure you won't become a casualty is to stay in fellowship right now.
Amen.
Don't worry about next month. Just take care of today. And then tomorrow, you take care of tomorrow. Tomorrow, you make the right choice. And then the next week, you make the right choice. And before you know, a year will have gone by and you made the right choice. And you'll be stronger because of it. I can't urge that strong enough. You want to see this church stay open? You've got to do that.
Amen.
You see, this church got to a point the night that Pastor and his family came, and there were just a few that were here. They were getting ready to close the doors. And I believe had God not brought Pastor along, they'd have probably, within what, next 3-4 weeks after that, had closed it up? Why? Well, because there weren't people here. Now, praise God for those faithful ones. But what about all of the rest?
Yes, sir.
I talked to Sister Melinda about putting together a chorus book for the Sunday school, some additional or newer for us songs to open Sunday school with. And she said, oh yeah, we used to have one of them. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to just add some and keep it fresh. Since we don't have a separate children's opening, we want to make at least the singing part of it enjoyable for them. And she said, we used to have a separate Sunday school opening for children. And I don't remember what else I said, but she said, we used to do that. You know, a church can't survive on used to's.
Yes, sir.
It survives on today's. And the only way it's going to survive today is if, listen to me, every one of us determines to make it work. Let's get over this business, somebody else is going to do it. I came in tonight and I noticed that the church was clean. I don't know who cleaned, but they cleaned. Things don't happen unless somebody does it. Oh, it did my heart good. I looked up here. The choir chairs. Two uniform rows. Oh. So this is what heaven looks like. All I'm doing is trying to lighten what seems to be getting maybe a little heavy. And that is, if it's going to work, it's going to be because we make it work. And we can't figure, well, somebody else will do it. Somehow it's going to happen. It isn't going to happen. Now, pastor's here about 10 years at this point. You know, he ain't going to live forever.
What?
Someday he's going to, well, yeah. Just took his salvation away. You didn't know I had such power. He ain't not going to live on earth forever. There'll come a day when he won't be able, you know. Now, how long the Lord will bless him with health and strength sufficient to be able to pastor, that's, you know, for the Lord to know. Friend, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because we're going to make it happen. You know that one of the most dangerous points for a church, no, we're not there. I understand. And I'm not saying this to be humorous, but one of the most dangerous points for a church is about 100 people. Because with 100 active people, you have enough money coming in to finance a program to advance some new things, to maintain properties. You have enough people to staff those programs. And many a church never gets beyond 100 because they get comfortable. And therefore, 100 is a danger point in the life of a church. Now, I guess if we were to take that thought, we could apply it to different churches, different areas, different locales, okay? And that number, you know, could be lower. All I know is if this is going to work, it's going to be because we make it work. And don't go getting sanctimonious on me saying, well, I thought it's the Holy Spirit who's got to make it work. Yeah, right. I absolutely agree with that. But when that's stated in such a manner, it's as an excuse. You see, if we all leave out of this building and don't come back for 6 months, you think the Holy Spirit doesn't love what went on here, goes on here, could go on here? Of course he does. But if he's going to do anything, it's going to be through his people. You see? And that's us. That's us. If it's going to work, it's going to be because we make it work. Well, something just came to me. Now, this isn't, and of course none of this is in the notes. You can tell that. Hey, kids. We're in mud season right now, aren't we? Yes, shake your head, yes, we are in mud season.
That's a mud season.
And I mentioned that somebody came in and cleaned. Now, you want to know something? If this is going to work, this church, in this matter of clean, it's going to be because you kids are going to help it to work. Now, you've heard me already talk to your parents and encourage them, meet you at the door, and, you know, make sure your shoes aren't dirty, take them off and put them on the porch or under the coat rack if they are, and all of that. But you want to know something? Listen to me. It's your shoes, it's your feet that are dirty, not your parents. And therefore, you can help. You can look at your shoes. You can look at your feet. You can clean. When my dad comes in with mud on it, I'll look at him. I don't know if I'd have nerve to do that. But you see what I'm getting at? If this is going to work, it's going to be because we make it work. Not because it just somehow happens. We have a great Bible teaching pastor.
Amen.
We all agree in that. But he can't do what we need to do. He can feed us, but once we've eaten, then we've got to serve. We've got to do the things. Oh, and believe me, I know who I'm talking to. So many of you already have several jobs that you're doing. I'm not talking to a bunch of lazy people. I know that. You are busy. You are doing. And I guess this is a backwards way of saying this is a Pennsylvania Dutch pat in the back. Sounds more like a kick in the pants to me. We're doing what needs to be done. The thing is, we can't quit. And I've got an idea that some of you are the same as the way I can be. What's that? What's that way? We're told that we're to not grow weary in well doing. Do you ever grow weary in well doing? Don't add lines to your problems. Of course we grow weary. We're human. We're in a body of flesh. And sometimes the things we have to deal with can seem overwhelming. And you know what? I'm just talking about church. Now you each have your own individual lives. Besides, believe me, I know that church and what goes on in church isn't the only thing in your life. It's the most important by way of values, but it's not the only thing that we deal with. So keep on. Don't give up. Don't quit. Every time we sing, He leadeth me. Shag Bark. I said that because Neil knows the campsite I'm talking about. It's not there anymore. But there's an old, I guess you'd call it a pavilion. I think it's where they had square dances too. But on Sunday we sanctified it. We'd sing a couple songs. I'd preach a message. And the three people that came out really could have got up and gone to church, but they didn't, so we brought church to them. But that girl who's not anymore, she's a woman. I hope she gives some kind of evidence at some point of having returned to the Lord. So essential. Turn to the book of Hebrews, if you would. I'm not doing so good tonight. The reason I say I'm not doing so good tonight is I told Pat when I left, I said, I've got to get a short message on Wednesday night. And maybe I ought to just stop and that ought to be my message right there. But no, I got to give you some scripture. Hebrews chapter 13. Jesus is our assurance when it comes to guidance. He leadeth me. He'll guide us. He is our ever-present guide. Hebrews 13. He is our ever-present guide. He's always with us to guide us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, here it is, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Father in heaven, we indeed need your guidance. We need your leading. Grant it to us now in this time of brief time of Bible study. In Jesus' name, amen. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a wonderful promise. He is ever present with us. And that's true even when we don't feel like having him there. You know, one of the assurances that you're saved is that when you don't do something right, you do something wrong, and the Spirit of God convicts you, and you have a guilty feeling that goes beyond just your conscience. You see, a lot of people say, let your conscience be your guide. Oh, no. You see, our conscience can be seared.
Yep.
Our conscience is not a reliable guide. The conscience, under the leading of the Spirit, indeed can be a tremendous asset. But when an individual does something they shouldn't do, thinks something they shouldn't think, says something they shouldn't say, and then they become pricked in their mind, okay, about it, and they no different, but they are going to keep doing it, and the Holy Spirit keeps coming back and convicting about it. What's he come? He's been sent to convict us of righteousness, of sin. And when he does just that, you know, he didn't do that to an unsaved person. He doesn't convict an unsaved person. An unsaved person can do something wrong and then keep doing it and it won't bother them. Now, you know, if they're married, their marriage partner might nag them about it. If they're living at home with their parent, a parent might nag them about it. A friend might nag them about it. But it ain't going to be their conscience and their heart and their mind. When that happens, that's an evidence indeed that a person does know Christ as Savior. Now, obviously, I'm talking about somebody that's made a profession. I'm not talking about somebody that has never made a profession. And verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. You know, that's not cockiness to say the Lord's going to help me. We can boldly say that because he's been promised to be there and to be our helper. And so the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He is our ever-present guide. He guides through the Bible. Psalm 119, and this is a very important thing. He guides through the Bible. Psalm 119, he will not guide contrary to the Scriptures. God always coordinates his personal guidance to agree with the principles of the Scripture that are there for everybody. Psalm 119, verse 105, what does he say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, you want to see where you're going? You want guidance? He leadeth me. See where you're going? The word lights up the path. Lights it up in the sense that if it's night and dark and you have a flashlight or some other source of light, then that lights up the pathway. Well, we're talking now about the path of life, the way of living. God sheds his light on it. God sheds his insight and understanding on something that we need to do. Through the word, thy word. Look at verse 9 and 11. Verse 9, familiar again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. God guides through the Word. God guides through the Bible. And He guides through His Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now granted, if a person's backslidden, if a person's trying to run away from God, they're not led by the Spirit at that point. They're running from the Spirit, but the Spirit is going to keep convicting them and keep drawing them back to Himself. Again, another evidence of the presence of the Spirit, that He keeps drawing them back. My. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the Spirit does not lead contrary to His Word, but He leads in conjunction with His Word. Now, John chapter 16 is the last text that I'm going to read from. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, and He is come. He came. All right? He's here. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. He points us to Christ. And so when it is that the Spirit of God speaks to your heart and points you to Christ, when you've got a decision to make and He points you to Christ, when you're toying with things to do or not do, and you find yourself influenced toward Christ, it may be by His direct intervention to your heart and mind. It might be through another individual. They're pointing you to Christ. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God who does that. Devil doesn't do that. Unsaved friends and family don't do that. Christian family might do that, but did you ever consider that it's probably the Spirit of God prompting them, working in them, through them, to you? A lot of reasons to know that we can get our guidance from the Almighty God who we serve. Let's remember that as we go through each day and every day. All right, let me share some prayer requests with you. On Saturday, May 13th, Amy Morey is going to be giving her testimony. There's a women's conference.